fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. He's the smartest guy in the room. We'll let you decide which one we're talking about. Brady and Walker. Now. On Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hi there, Brady and Walker. That's right, your morning buddies on Thursday, the last work day of the week. It's a 4-day weekend for many, a 3-day weekend for some. We won't be in tomorrow, but we'll be back bright and, well, not bright and really early, like this time, Monday morning, on a morning we call Easter Monday. It's not really, it's the holiday that's not a holiday in Canada, isn't it?
What, Monday? I've never heard of Easter Monday.
But you get days off. You always had school off? Schools are off here.
On Monday?
Schools have always been a 4-day weekend. Yeah. Where's your youth?
You're
closer to youth than I am, and you don't remember that.
Too busy celebrating the...
What do they have? Wheat?
Not celebrating the crucifixion. Remembering the crucifixion.
Do they have wheat day or something to take its place?
Yeah.
In your whole former home province? We've always had Easter Monday here.
Let me ask you something. So, because people are, do you get the Monday off? Do you get the Friday off? So we have the Friday off. So today, in essence, is
our last show for a while.
Today, in essence, is Friday. Yeah. And when you get up in the morning, I don't know, maybe you're thinking about the weekend plans of the kids. Maybe you're thinking about the show and the lineup. The only thing I was thinking about was, do you think the bosses realize it's kind of Friday, so they should put the ping pong table out?
Well, it's coming out whether they like it or not, and they should put it out for us.
I like it when we go up there, and it's already out.
That's exactly it.
It's literally the only thing I think of anymore.
We don't look over eager, you know? And we said to our program director yesterday, we're like, God, I don't know. We feel bad. Sometimes we see upper management, and they might have guests, and it's a Tuesday, and people walk right out of the elevator, and there's sweaty guys.
Just smashing
there's
forehands.
There's flesh moving around, and... And, you know, maybe it's not the best image. And the boss, our main boss is like, it's great. And I'm like,
they love it. They love the camaraderie.
He sounded a little too much like Robert De Niro when he tells Ray Liotta's wife to go look at those clothes.
Just go down the alley.
Go down that. It's fine.
It's fine.
Like, it's Halloween or Friday the 13th. Go in that broom closet. I'm sure the killer's not in there.
Let's split up. In the dark warehouse, yes.
That's sort of what it's like. But yeah, we're going to play today. In homage of finally knowing the NBA playoff schedule, it's all set. The Raptors know who they're playing, and more importantly for people in this city, it's been 6 years since a playoff game occurred. They know when they're playing. They'll start Saturday at 12:30. They're the first playoff game of all 8 series to get going. And then they'll be done at 3:00 and they'll sit and wait for about 60 hours before they play again. They don't play till Tuesday night for game 2 at the Air Canada Center.
It's going to be electric. And we didn't get into, because they released playoff tickets yesterday, and they didn't get into how expensive the Raptors are. The most expensive playoff ticket in all of the NBA.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time coming, and the price points dictate that. But yeah, they get the Nets. The story yesterday was, well, and the Raptors were last up. So at the end of the day, they didn't control anything heading into the last day. The team that really did was the Brooklyn Nets. And Brooklyn lost by 29 points in Cleveland. They sat everybody. And I don't know what to think. They're not alone. Everybody's been tinkering with their own lineup to try to get the seed they want. But the Brooklyn Nets put in a concerted effort to finish in the number 6 seed and get the Toronto Raptors in round 1.
So once
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the Raptors, I mean, they were pounding the Knicks, and then when they realized it didn't matter, they gave their bench playing time last night. I wouldn't like it if we were sitting here talking about how the Raptors lost on purpose.
That's okay.
I wouldn't like it at all.
Once the division seemed lost for Brooklyn, they lost 4-5. They lost 4 of their last 5 games. They lost in Orlando, against Atlanta at home, home against the Knicks, and at Cleveland. They weren't losing any of those games in January or February.
You know what?
When they actually fought, clawed their way back into playoff contention and even winning the division.
Last night they lost on purpose, but I'd like to think that stretch was because they've been playing playoff basketball for the better part of 3 months. I mean, the veteran lineup, they're just a little fatigued.
Maybe so.
I'd like to think that the Raptors can. I know you'd rather have the Wizards than the Nets, but I'd like to think it doesn't matter to the Raptors.
We came in the morning of April 9th, which would have been a week ago yesterday, on Wednesday of last week, and we're like, oh God, they went to Miami and they beat the Heat, and they won't win the division, but they're 4-0 against the Heat. We didn't know what it meant then, and clearly now there's three factors. They'd rather play the Raptors than the Bulls. They didn't get home advantage anyway. That's the second factor. So it's not like they're giving up a home date. They wouldn't do that. And the third thing is
Miami potentially did.
They don't. Yeah, they don't. Yeah, in the third round, they don't sweat Miami. They clearly don't sweat Miami. And there was no. We talked about it yesterday. There was no real dilemma for Dwayne Casey. Had Chicago won their game, though, there would have been in the fourth quarter as to what to do.
Well,
and they lost the game.
There would have been.
They lost the game anyway. They were up 20 points by.
Yeah.
Last night.
There would have been a dilemma for fans on who to cheer for. But I'd like to think, because I was sitting there, I was almost embarrassed. Because yesterday, this was the big topic. You know, you want to lose to get this seed and get this seed. When did sports get this way? When did we sit around talking about, this is a team that just set a franchise record with their 48th victory, and we're talking about how best to lose the finale? When did competition get this way? Ridiculous.
Well,
and they wouldn't be alone. We saw eight teams trying to lose as many games as they could so they could draft first overall this year.
You concur it's been like this for drafts for 30-plus years, which is why they've put protections in place in some leagues to make sure it doesn't happen.
This year it feels more so.
Yeah.
Right? Look at the Eastern Conference. Right? The bottom end is as bad as it's ever been. Or you could say the middle is as bad as it's ever been because there's so many teams looking to tank.
Yeah.
Miami gave up home court advantage in the third round so they could get an easier first round matchup. It's pathetic.
Well, I don't know. Did they? Atlanta isn't going to be an easier first round matchup for Indiana than ending up against Charlotte. I don't know. They're both.
Well, whatever
geography
the reason,
doesn't matter.
Whatever
I know what
the
saying.
Reason was, Miami mailed
they
in their last
no,
game.
No. They made a call to play it that way. It's the first time we've seen something so dramatic with so many teams involved, and yet it's sort of like how do you cut down traffic accidents?
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I don't know the best way to end it. We'll get more into it as the morning continues. But as Andrew noted, Raptors open it up 12:30 Saturday, and of course 8:00 Tuesday night. They'll go to Brooklyn Friday. And Sunday night game, April 27th for Game 4 before it's back here for Game 5.
And by the way, it's tough to get tickets. We have tickets to give you this morning coming up.
We
so
do.
So 6:30, we'll start with the clues on our brand new game today.
Yep, we'll tell you all about it all morning long. All right, so Raptors, Nets tickets for Game 1 to give away today and lots to get to. And it's a doubleheader of baseball. Why that is coming up next. That's Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Trending now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The playoffs are set. Raptors, Nets, let's get it on. Will the Jays get a sweep and a double dip against the Twins? And The Price is Right is the Habs' top T-Bay. And that's what's trending now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Everything you're talking about, they're talking about. Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jenner shot it down the ice. Johansson couldn't pick it up, and turning back was Bennett. Bennett gets it back center. Scores! First time in the game, Pittsburgh is in front. Brandon Sutter scores a high shot.
Three winners. There'll be four tonight. Stanley Cup playoffs got underway last night, and that was Robert G. Cole, of course, on the CBC. The Corporation had two games last night, and Pittsburgh edged out Columbus 4-3. But the one that caught probably more of our attention, I just stayed with this one a lot more, and I think you did too, Andrew, was Montreal winning in overtime over the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-4. And Dale Weiss scores his, what he described after the game as maybe his only overtime winner of his career. And I said to my wife, I go, you got to make something up. Say he scored like 7 and banned him. No one's going to know. You guys scored 29 goals for the Swift Current Broncos. Let's go.
Yeah.
So,
former Swift Current Broncos. You don't score.
He
said you don't play
first.
A lot of overtime. You don't play a lot of overtime in minor hockey.
No, I suppose so. Yeah. Maybe tournaments, Silver Stick, and sometimes they go right to shootout now in this day and age. So he said it was his first one. It's his first playoff goal ever after kind of being a bit player with Vancouver last year. And what a moment. The Canadians win a a thriller 5-4, and goaltending was a story only in the sense that a lot of people were real skeptical that Anders Lindback could carry the mail for Tampa, and I don't think anyone's changed their mind on whether Lindback can win this series. Most people feel like they need Bishop to, and it was horrendous play in front of Carey Price last night, but I was torn between, and we exchanged that kind of sentiment on Twitter, and a lot of people weighed in one way or the other. I was torn between they're playing really crappy in front of him, and to put it John Tortorella's way, he also needs to make a GD save on one of these, because at one point he'd given up four goals on 19 shots.
Well, didn't Tampa, and I know you referenced this, didn't Tampa kind of feel like the Leafs last night?
Yep.
Right? They were getting out shots.
29-11 at one point.
Although, yeah. I mean, Lindback makes 39 saves in this game, but you didn't get the feeling he was overly strong. He's a backup goalie. Yeah. And anytime you're starting your backup goalie, do you have a chance to win? Yeah, sure, I suppose. The Lightning have a chance to win this series, but the scales tilted, even if it was 55-45 in favor of Montreal. And now I would say Montreal's probably 70-30 to win this series as they regain home ice. And, I mean, a 5-4 game, you're going to have your wild ups and downs. Carey Price was at his best in overtime.
Yeah,
he made five saves and kept going long enough. Pacioretty hits a post, and then finally Dale Weiss ends this one. Tampa was opportunistic. It felt like there was a few key lapses from Montreal, and each and every one of them ended up in the back of their net. And they were all prime scoring chances, right? If there's one that Carey Price wants back, it's probably the Stamkos flying up the wing, but it's Stamkos flying up the wing, and if he rips it post and in, you know, Carey Price didn't steal last night's game. To me, it's the biggest criticism, because I think there's this large faction of people that, I don't know, they like to see Luongo fail. Now they want to see Carey Price fail. I'm not sure why. Carey Price is a young guy, and he has yet to prove that, yeah, he can take a team real deep into the playoffs.
I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't want to be wrong about everything in life. I don't... I was nervous about him going into the Olympics, and he was good enough to win the gold medal in the Olympics with, you know, the greatest defense ever assembled in 120 years of hockey in front of him.
He was better than good enough. He didn't allow any goals.
That's good enough, isn't it? We concurred in February. There are other goalies that might have won gold.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah, I agree with
that. We're not talking.
And I don't
it's not Dominik Hasek for the Czech Republic in 98. It never was.
And I'm never the guy that says, you know, oh, Carey Price officially arrived because he won Olympic gold.
But he can over the next 4 or 5 weeks officially arrive as a quote-unquote elite goalie.
It's all about the NHL playoffs.
And if I'd said to you, God, Tampa's going to go and get four goals on 19 shots for Anders Lindback, you might think, well, that might be Tampa's best chance to win with Lindback. And I think more than enough of Price to tell you, I'm not sure he'll give up four in a game in a series again. It's four goals.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that often.
I think this is, if last night's any indication, it really feels like Montreal's series, right? I mean, Tampa, no Ben Bishop is mentioned. They lose Andre Palat in this game, who right now is probably their second best player. You know, Filppula is good. Tyler Johnson's good. Palat behind Stamkos is probably their second best player right now.
Yep.
I thought the defense looked a little young last night. Right. Everybody likes this Radko Gudas, but he was flopping around.
A bit overmatched at times.
Trying to do too much. The experience of guys like Danny Briere and Thomas Vanek, I thought, shone through. This is Montreal's series.
There were guys that were ready. It's second year in the league and second year playoff hockey for Brendan Gallagher. I thought he looked the part. I thought Desharnais.
He's a playoff guy, isn't
he? I thought Desharnais looked really good. And say what you will about Rene Bork, tough minutes and on basically a fourth line assignment. I thought he was all right. I didn't think he looked out of place.
Yeah, he's limited. He's terrible.
Terrible/limited.
You can have him. You can have him on your team.
You can have her. 5:50, time to do Now and Then for the 17th of April.
Now and Then, a hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history.
I'll be back in time. Just a reminder again, we got, you want baseball? We got baseball. Might be 6+ hours of it from Target Field, Minnesota.
Yay!
Day-night doubleheader. So supposedly it's going to be warmer at nighttime for the evening 7 o'clock game. than it is right now in Minnesota. So it'll be Dickey, Pelfrey, who were supposed to go last night at 1, and Dustin McGowan goes with Kyle Gibson tonight at 7:10. I wonder how many Minnesotans will go to both games.
That's true. Then you got the Wild open things up against Colorado. Our producer Ryan Favreau's in a look at today in history, and our Montreal to the Stanley Cup pick.
Yeah,
it's looking good right now.
You guys
real
took some
good
arrows. I felt bad for you. 15 more wins though, baby.
These losers on 12 Twitter. Nice people, but
I'm never listening to your morning show ever because you picked the Habs.
Yeah, I got one of those last night.
You're picking the Habs because look how much they possess the puck. It's a playoff prediction. God.
Even just a couple comments on the game last night. And Canadians fans are mad because I'm ripping Price, and Leafs fans are going, you know, you got to stop talking about the Habs. I might have to unfollow you.
Like,
it's your world, pal. I'm here for your entertainment.
It's better than the Red Wings. Just pick your battles, people.
I'll do mock drafts and tell you who the Leafs are going to pick at 8 every day. What do you want me to do for the next 2 months? Anyway, whatever. What happened on this date in April? April 17th in history.
Well, in 1970, Apollo 13 returns home. I finally saw this movie, Apollo 13.
When?
Like 1995? Three months ago.
Really?
Yes.
It's actually pretty good for space movies.
It's one of those ones that's never on TV. You know how some movies are always on TV? It's never on TV.
Forrest Gump was on again last night.
God, Shawshank's always on, right?
I think it was.
It's never on.
Yeah, I think it was just in that period when Tom Cruise made a blockbuster every 6 months and he would get Oscar nominations.
Tom Hanks, right?
What did I say? Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Freudian slip.
This would have been his third in a row. And some people are like, God, how could you win three Oscars in a row? Because Philadelphia and Forrest Gump had been the 2 years before that.
Castaway wasn't that far gone.
99, I think 4 years after that.
And we've had this debate before, but he should have won for Castaway. He was the only guy in the movie, and he didn't win that.
Volleyball was in that movie, wasn't it?
His name was Wilson. Thank you.
Helen Hunt.
Hot.
That's a bad take, but anyway.
Sure it is.
1987, Dr. J becomes the third player to score 30,000 points in the NBA. There you go. And 1997 on this day, Martin Brodeur, the second goalie to score in a playoff game. You recall this?
I do.
Textall was the first, right?
I remember that. Huh? Yes, I have no recollection.
Against Montreal, I think, on this date.
Don't you feel that career NBA points is such a random, overrated stat? Just like, 30,000. All right.
Is it a lot? Yeah. If you go points per game, it's easier to sort of break down.
Like, what's Michael Jordan, like 8th all time in career points? I don't know. It's weird.
I think he's like 4th. 5th. Somewhere around 36,000, I think.
36,000.
Forgive me, but he went away for 3 years, so that was part of it.
Yes.
But he did.
You're forgetting.
2.5.
Birthdays.
Don't get annoyed. It's Thursday.
Boreas Salming. It's Leafs legend's birthday today.
61.
How old? That's incorrect. Walker.
59.
63 for the Swedish Hammer.
Okay.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
That's not true, but...
Wrestler, so Walker has never heard of him.
I abstain.
Brady Hoke.
I think he's an Alberta native.
Forgive me, but he was the one that ripped open his shirt.
That's not him. 56.
He's 59 today. Jennifer Garner's birthday is today.
She's hot.
Very excited about
that. She'd be over 40, I think. 41?
Close. No cigar.
38.
No, 42.
Okay, I don't know. We didn't give her enough credit. Mom of three, she looks great in that movie, Draft Day. Right?
Yeah.
She's just really well put together. Really well
bright,
put together.
Bright girl, too.
Yeah.
Smart. I think she's
She's not like classically like, oh my God, I would do anything to her. She's just really well put together.
You're at this hour of the morning.
Here we go. I'm too tired.
I need a coffee first.
How about Posh Spice?
Victoria Evans. Victoria Beckham. 44.
Oh, that old?
Yeah, that's incorrect.
I say 40 on the dot.
40 on the dot is correct.
Jeez.
And like steak. Like you are 15 pounds.
Again, a mother of three. She's kept it all off.
Someone get her a sandwich, will you?
That's tough with her team of trainers to do that for. Anyway, and Boomer Esiason, 53 today. Congratulations. And the number one song, 10 years ago. Yeah. It's Usher and Ludacris with Yeah,
it's great.
2004.
It's great writing in this one.
Time's flying.
Yeah,
that's
10
years ago.
It's a hit. What do you know? Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, your gold record. Congrats.
Don't be so jealous. Anyway,
by the way, Hanks.
Great writing.
Hanks was not nominated for Apollo 13. Nick Cage won that same year for Leaving Las Vegas. Other nominees including Anthony Hopkins for Nixon. Sean Penn was great in Dead Man Walking.
Sean Penn, also a huge Ludacris fan.
Richard Dreyfuss was in Mr. Holland's Opus and was nominated. That's not the same movie as Mr. Holland's, I can't even say it.
So what was better, Mr. Holland's Opus or Klippendorf's Tribe?
I don't know. Can we go to break?
Yes. Okay. It's Brady DeWalker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Trending now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Who's ready for a Blue Jays doubleheader? The Ducks dropped Dallas in Game 1. And Tanaka dominates again. Boy, I'm glad the Jays didn't go hard after him this offseason. And that's what's trending now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. The playoffs are set. Raptors, Nets, let's get it on.
They're a very experienced team. They got championship caliber players. I mean, I don't know how many more playoff minutes more so than we do, but it's quite a few.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. Brady and Walker, 6:03. It's Andrew Walker. It is Greg Brady. And after 6 long years of waiting, and then a long regular season, and we knew they had clinched a playoff spot a long time ago. Toronto Raptors back in the postseason, and we know what the matchup's going to be, Greg. A lot had to go right and or wrong, but it's the Brooklyn Nets in the opener, and it's going to start on Saturday.
Yeah, they split the season series, Andrew. They'll play Saturday, 12:30, Tuesday, 8 o'clock, game 2. So you'll have Sunday, Monday off. The teams will to reflect, be ready, and then it's off to Brooklyn and Barclays Center Friday, April 25th, so a week from tomorrow, and they'll play game 4 there on the Sunday, and then another 2-day break. They love spreading this out. Game 7 wouldn't be till potentially May 4th, 17 days from now. So it's a series that's exciting. There hasn't been playoffs here in 6 years, and logically also, there hasn't been a real shot to win a playoff series potentially since 07. When they played Vince Carter and the New Jersey Nets in Bargnani's rookie year when they won their 47 games. And the experience, everyone was talking about it last night. There's three teams. The Wizards haven't been there in a long time. The Bobcats have never won a playoff game. And a lot of these players on those three teams, here in Toronto, in Washington, in Charlotte, are definitely being unheralded, I suppose, is the best way I can put it, to make noise in these playoffs based on experience, especially going against Brooklyn. Toronto is.
Well, I get it. In a perfect world, if you were the Raptors, and we've talked about it for weeks, you know, you wanted an easier touch in the first round, notably, probably, the Washington Wizards. It just didn't work out that way. But if you like intensity, if you like drama, you know, if you want to see a first round series equivalent to what we're going to see in the NHL in terms of intensity, everybody's all over the East, you know, and maybe Washington and Charlotte and Atlanta, those aren't really playoff teams. They don't really give you the feel of that. But Brooklyn, Toronto, even if the Eastern Conference was really solid, this kind of feels like a true 4-5 matchup. Does it not?
It does. And a lot of people are weighing in on Brooklyn. They
lost
all over the broadcast last night.
29 points last night in Cleveland.
They had no interest in winning the game, and yet I don't know what. What do you think their end game is? Is it because I watch Chicago and Charlotte as I'm flipping back and forth between Lightning Canadians and weirdly Bulls Bobcats. And I'm thinking Toronto's result matters if Chicago wins. And if Chicago doesn't, what happens with Knicks Raptors is irrelevant. But why does Brooklyn do this? And they were planning to do it obviously anyway. What if Chicago had won, game gone to overtime in Charlotte and the Bulls ended up losing? And the Raptors lose, then you're sixth, then you get the Bulls and then the Heat. I don't know what the end game is, but it's clearly something Brooklyn wanted to orchestrate and do. They lost 4 of the last 5 and 3 of the 4 losses to crappy teams.
And it's easy to sit here today on my pedestal and say that, you know, the Raptors were better than that. They were, you know, bigger than the game and they didn't tank at one point this season. They weren't trying to lose for seeding or trying to lose this. And I like to believe that. I mean, they just set a franchise record with their 48th win. And you're telling me they're going to lose their last game on purpose to try to get a better matchup? I just think it's pathetic. I think we've seen it so much this season in the NBA. We have 8 teams pretty much trying to tank the season.
From day one.
Let alone a game here and there.
You're bang on. And from day one, not in the, hey, we didn't get it done. And in the last 2 weeks, we're going to pull starters.
Yeah.
And, pull assets, and you see that happen in the NHL. We know it even may happen in the NFL in the last couple weeks of a season to improve a pick, but not from day one. There's never been a even in 03, the run up to get LeBron James or Chris Bosh or Dwayne Wade or Carmelo, teams weren't doing it like they're doing it now.
So it's really easy to sit here and wag my finger, but you know, I think it's nice that the Raptors didn't have to encroach into that territory. They were up by 20 in New York. They were playing to win. Then they get word that, yeah, everybody lost, so you're in the three seed and you're playing Brooklyn. So they put in their bench, and they had a chance to win on the last possession and didn't get it done.
No, I don't think it's worth... We'll see how this series evolves. It'll have that sense to it. Now can the Raptors have a disappointing season? We talked about it before, and it's the old adage of playing with house money. People will be disappointed if they lose to Brooklyn, and certainly if it's not much of a series. I don't know anybody that thinks this series could be over in five games either way. We just feel like it's going to have some length to it.
It feels like a six or a seven.
But what's the emotion if they lose now to the Nets? We may throw up our hands and say, the Nets had a reason for wanting it, and they've got playoff vets, and they're well coached. Jason Kidd's so fresh in this. I don't know how people will view it if they don't win this first round. There's definitely expectation there for them to not lose the first round.
I think that people are realistic. I think that everybody knows how good of a team the Brooklyn Nets are. The Raptors might not win this series. I'm picking the Raptors to win this series. If I were to go to Vegas, like, home court is huge. I would put money on the Raptors to win this series. But, you know, the Brooklyn Nets aren't a pushover. Everybody knows that. I don't think there's a worst-case scenario here. The Raptors aren't getting swept in this series. They're more likely to sweep than get swept. So I think people are understanding. I think this season will be remembered very fondly for a lot of years by a lot of people. I think there's nothing that can disrupt that.
Well, and it's the start of building. Brooklyn has what's called a disappointing season if they lose this. They had expectations trading for these guys and adding assets and getting a new coach, and Toronto didn't coming in. So we'll see if that factors in. It's freezing right now, 0 degrees, up to a high of 8 later today with some afternoon rain. Well, let's get you what you need to know. 3 NHL games last night, some baseball in the mix as well. Here's your Thursday morning six-pack.
This is your Thursday morning six-pack. 6 things you need to start your day.
Now, on with the countdown.
All right, this is what you need to know. On your Thursday, as you get set for the weekend, number 6, some NFL news, Chris Johnson, the former Tennessee Titan, former 2,000-yard rusher, signs on with the New York Jets as New York's offseason retool continues. It's a 2-year deal. Could be worth up to $9 million. Has there ever been a running back that has just fallen off as sharply from megastar to what's going on with Chris Johnson?
No, you had a 2006 and 2009 season, 206-yard 2009 season, 125 yards a game. And I bet you most football fans wouldn't know he's never not had a 1,000-yard season, but he's barely had a 1,000-yard season.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years for Tennessee.
The 1,000-yard season is not what it used to be.
No. You need basically 75 a game to make it happen if you can stay healthy, and he has even stayed healthy. So we'll see. I mean, the Bills are going to see him twice now. The Dolphins are going to see him twice now. I think he has to be considered the elite running back. If it's not him, it's C.J. Spiller in the conference, or in the AFC East, I should say.
Boy, you take out the health factor, C.J. Spiller is miles ahead of Chris Johnson.
I don't know about that. For raw talent, I don't know.
C.J. Spiller's not getting released today.
That was money, though. That's money. C.J. Spiller is not going to get a 2,000-yard season either in his career.
Chris Johnson was better at his best. I'm not denying that. Number 5, American League East playing yesterday. The Yankees, they take 2 from the Chicago Cubs. It's a doubleheader, and they did it with pitching. Masahiro Tanaka, terrific again. Struck out 10 over 8 scoreless in a 3-0 final in the opener. Tanaka looks legit. Got to say that. And then Michael Pineda, 6 shutout innings, 2-0 in the nightcap, the Yankees over the Cubs. And the Red Sox took them 14 innings, but they get by the White Sox 6-4, and it was Tampa a 3-0 loss to Baltimore.
We're starting to see them fade a little bit, aren't we? Three straight losses for the Rays. And it wasn't pitching yesterday that did it. It was how good Miguel Gonzalez was for Baltimore.
Number four, Blue Jays doubleheader in Minnesota today. R.A. Dickey gets the opener. It's a 1 o'clock start. Then Dustin McGowan in the nightcap. 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Ontario. Number three, playoffs last night. Game one of the NHL. Montreal, a 5-4 overtime win in Tampa. It was Dale Weiss with the game winner. The fourth liner getting a shift in overtime, and that's what the playoffs is all about, right? It's the little-known guys, the unsung heroes, and Dale Weiss already has written himself into Canadiens lore.
Well, and you need 12 forwards, and Montreal actually has a pretty deep fourth line, all told, compared to a lot of other teams. I didn't watch much of Pittsburgh-Columbus, so this was the game I focused in on.
Yep, Columbus loses their opener, 4-3 in Pittsburgh, and the late game. When I went to bed, it was 4-0 Anaheim. Dallas actually claws back in this and makes it a game, 4-3 the final, the Ducks over the Stars. Number two, playoffs tonight. This is what is on the schedule this evening. It is game one between the New York Rangers and the Philadelphia Flyers. I would say out of all these series, that's as close to a pick'em as you're going to get. Chicago at St. Louis in game one in the West. Got Minnesota at Colorado. And it's the LA Kings later tonight, 10:30 start in San Jose, taking on the Sharks.
I think this is the only night, for our own purposes, Andrew, the only night that we can sleep in after a Kings-Sharks game. So I'm going to give it a go tonight. I don't like my chances to be there when the final buzzer goes, but I'm going to give it a go.
And the number one thing you need to know, for the first time in 6 years, the Raptors are in the playoffs, and their matchup is set. As mentioned, it's the Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets. Now, coming up in about 16 minutes from now, we're going to begin to give away our tickets here on Brady and Walker for Game 1. It's the hottest ticket in Toronto right now. There's no doubt about it. 12:30 Saturday afternoon is Game 1 at the ACC. We have tickets, and we'll tell you how to win them. Make sure you're listening at 6:30.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We'll do it right after follow or unfollow. But to get you set for that particular series, and as we mentioned, Game 2 goes Tuesday night. So Sunday and Monday, time to reflect, get a bit healthier. Brooklyn here, 8 o'clock start, a rarity at the Air Canada Center. But it's that way for US TV, 8 o'clock Tuesday night. Before the series shifts back to Brooklyn. Coming up, we'll dive more into the win last night for the Montreal Canadiens. And yeah, a lot of people split on what kind of night it was for Carey Price. Was he bad? He wasn't very good, but he wasn't bad. So the truth may lie somewhere in the middle on him.
And it was clear to see what Columbus's game plan was last night against Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. We'll tell you what.
Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Kucherov comes out to check in. Reese is loose. He shoots. He scores. Danny Briere weaves some magic again with Michael Bordeval and Dale Weiss. And it's Weiss who wins the game for Montreal.
There you go. Dale Weiss, the former Swift, current Bronco. Western Hockey League. Good Canadian boy right there. The OT winners.
New York Rangers draft pick. Glenn Sather knows what he's doing. Trying to tell you this all for the last 10 years.
First career playoff goal. The Habs draw first blood in Tampa, 5-4 over the Lightning, who didn't have Ben Bishop. And then they were without super rookie Andre Palat, had to leave this game. Who knows where he's going to be the rest of the series. 6:23, it's Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Andrew Walker. He is Greg Brady. And it's a quality win for Montreal. We know that. Anytime you win game one on the road in a matchup that kind of felt like a pick'em series coming in. So they steal home ice advantage. What do you think of the goaltenders in this game? Because that seemed to be the topic. Anders Lindback had to make a lot of saves, but looked like a backup goalie.
He looked like a backup goalie.
The Ben Bishop, injury in this one looms large.
I mean, is there any coincidence in your mind? Tampa goes to, they win 11 games in the playoffs, and they lose a 1-0 game 7 to Boston with Mike Smith, and Dwayne Rolison had to come in that playoff and help out with a game or two. I forget against who, but at some point he did. And then in 12...
It was mostly Dwayne Rolison in that run, yeah.
Was it? Did he play more than Smith?
I'm asking. Quite a bit, yeah.
But they used them both. And in 12, neither guy's back. Smith is in Phoenix. Rolison played out one more season, and their goaltending drops to 29th in the league. And it was 30th last year. And Ben Bishop was a sort of a late season acquisition from Ottawa, and he righted the ship near the end of last season. And Tampa's had great goaltending this year. It's no coincidence they're back in the playoffs and getting to host a game one. So without him, yeah, it's now here's the problem. Is Lindback Andrew not just a backup, but one of the worst backups in the league? Well, he never looks comfortable to me. Even that first goal that everyone's Plekanec made a great shot. It was like seconds after Kucherov started the scoring for Tampa. And you look where he is when the puck goes top corner, and he's if he just stayed in the middle of the net, the puck probably bounces off his shoulder. So I don't think Tampa has much of a crack with him, but then you go down to the other end, and it's Carey Price. And I know what you're saying, but I also know what I'm saying. Here's a guy who's had a couple playoff flameouts. He's a 905 career goalie in the playoffs. And I didn't like the first goal. A lot of people were yelling at me because I said I didn't like it.
Greg, it's a one-timer from the slot.
It's from the slot. It's the high hash marks. There's nobody. It doesn't touch anything and glances off the inside of his pad five hole.
There's a difference
between. He sees
between,
the puck, Andrew.
There's a difference between bad goals and just goals. And in this game, every Tampa goal was due to some sort of breakdown. And yes, the worst thing you could say about Carey Price, I just think there's this whole faction of people, and you seem to be wearing the C about on this. There's a whole
this
faction
is an
of people
a. I'm an alternate.
That is just, you know, just waiting, salivating to jump on Carey Price.
Yeah, but his numbers at some point.
Yes,
I know you hate stats.
He's
but
a
at
young,
some point.
He's a young goalie. That
no,
is
he's not young.
He's
coming into the prime of his career. He's 26. He's been in the league 6 years.
I think that's young. I think.
Okay,
I think
it's 20 is young. Okay, Patrick Waugh in 86 is young. Okay,
if a 20-year-old goalie chews gum and ties his own skates, it's an accomplishment.
Okay, so he's closer to 30 than he is to 20. I mean, we got to call a spade here. He made what does he make? He makes 16 saves out of 20 in regulation.
Right,
that's
and,
not good enough.
And if you were watching The Real Housewives of New York and you checked the box score after
that,
the game, you would have said that Carey Price had a bad game. I'll give you that. If you didn't watch the game and check the box score, you'd say, oh, Carey Price must have sucked. He didn't. Goal one from Kucherov was a bullet from about 15 feet out in the slot. Alex Killorin scores on a one-timer off of a turnover.
Yeah, nothing you can do
Steven
there.
Steven Stamkos is the Rocket Richard winner, and blisters one post and in.
Not knocking the other two goals, and like you said, but it's John Tortorella killing John Graham. He's like, when do I get a GD save? And did they get them in overtime? Sure they did. When the chips were down, Carey Price was very good in that game. A couple back-to-back saves on an exchange in overtime. But everything's relative. Andrew, if Lindback plays his ass off, they lose 4-1, and the narrative's different on Price this morning. You know that. You
sure.
know that.
Well, yeah, sure.
Canadians played terrible in front of him.
But he didn't.
It doesn't change how badly they played in front of him. They got to be better in front of him, or they're not going anywhere. He shouldn't have to be spectacular every night, and that's what the Canadians, the way they played in front of him, are forcing him to do. And we said this could happen. He's coming back from playing behind Shea Weber and Drew Doughty, and he's playing in front of Alexei Emelin and Andrei Markov, who doesn't even like being in his own end.
I thought Montreal clearly deserved to win last night. They were clearly the better team. It just seemed when they made a mistake, and Mike Weaver was certainly one of them, when they made a mistake, it was a spectacular mistake that ended up in the back of their net.
I totally agree. Sure it was.
I will say this about Carey Price. You're right in this sense. He's going to have to, and this is obvious. When you go on a long playoff run, you're going to have some nights where you are the show, where you steal it, where it's 1-0, where it's 2-1. Last night wasn't one of those nights. I'm not about to sit here and kill Carey Price for that. He didn't steal that game last night. He didn't have to. He came up big in overtime, and that's what you ask of your goalie.
Yeah, they're going nowhere unless they play better in front of him, but they're not going really far unless he's a little better than he was last night. It's a bit of both.
6:28, Brady and Walker. It's Andrew Walker, Greg Brady. As right before we give away our Raptors tickets, or begin to give them away, we got some movie. We'll explain it. Some movie trivia for you, I guess, coming up. But the Penguins as well last night, they take game one from Columbus 4-3. This one was 3-1 Columbus in the second, and the storyline through the first 40 was Brandon Dubinsky. Not only does he set up the game's opening goal from Jack Johnson, he was all over Sidney Crosby. Like, this is a concerted game plan. Slashes and trips and cross checks. And this was as pure of a shadow as I think we've seen in a long time. You don't see this in the regular season.
Do you think Crosby, we saw Philadelphia play this perfection 2 years ago. Yes, Marc-Andre Fleury was horrid in that series.
Well,
but
Crosby also had like 11 points in that series.
But I always think he's going to get his. I always think he will. And at the same time, it was one of the first moments, more even so than the two finals they had against Detroit, when, you know, Zetterberg could annoy him or somebody else could annoy him. But we saw Moore lose his cool than anything in that series. He shouldn't be dropping gloves. He shouldn't be in scrums after whistles. And that's one of the knocks on Sid is yapping, whining, complaining.
I think he's dropped that.
He's passed a lot of that.
Yeah.
He has passed a lot of that. But what did you see from it last night?
I thought Dubinsky did a good job. Autumn. I think the fact that we're talking about it is intriguing. You can't stop Sidney Crosby. You can only hope to contain him. I guess the Boston Bruins did last year, though. That Philadelphia series, I disagree there, because I think that, I mean, Malkin and Neal and Crosby scored points for fun in that series. There was one reason that they lost to Philly, and that was Marc-Andre Fleury. I thought the bigger story last night was Fleury, in spite of himself, actually looked okay. Made some big saves, especially late.
Nobody
as
liked
they
the
held
first
on.
Goal, but then he picked it back up after that.
I've always thought, and I don't know if you agree with this, I've always thought that when you're the underdog on the road in the playoff series, I mean, some people in Columbus will be freaking out today because they lost. You don't got to win game one. I've never felt you have to win game one. I've always felt your goal as an underdog is to equate yourself well in game one, to not lose 6-1, to show yourself that we can play with this team. We're going to be in this series. It's going to be a long series. I thought that's your only goal. And in terms of that, mission accomplished for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
And maybe Dallas did that as well. Like you said, it's 4-0. I watch and I'm going, God, they're ragdolling. Yeah. They're ragdolling the Stars. The Stars don't look ready. They don't look like they belong at all. Lindy Ruff should be able to prep a team better than this for a playoff game. He's been in a few coaching and playing. And they came back, lost 4-3. But they don't have a stigma of losing 7-1 going into game two on the weekend.
And all of a sudden, you find yourself in a game late. It doesn't matter if you're getting outshot, right? This is the opposite of the Leafs season. You find your way into overtime, and it's anybody's game.
And remember how badly the Leafs looked against Boston in game one last year.
Yes.
And they made adjustments. Gardner came into the lineup. They took McLaren out. They did some things a little differently and took game two.
So it is the Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets. Round one, game one, Saturday afternoon, 12:30. This is the hottest ticket in Toronto right now. They're uber expensive. I don't know if you saw that report on Twitter, but we have them. We have tickets for you. Game one, and we're giving them away right now on Brady and Walker.
So, don't go ahead yet. We've got three movies that we're going to, and then they're basketball theme movies. We're gonna perform a scene from one movie right now, another movie at 7:30. And another basketball theme movie at 8:30. And then at that point, we will open up the phone lines. And the first person to name all three movies, you don't have to do it in order, will win the ticket. So it's not right now. If you're calling right now, you're only wasting your own time.
Yeah, so it's Brady and Walker movie theater. Let's do it.
Long theme is
la la la.
Okay.
All right, so here's the scene from movie number one. It was this girl, 5 feet nothing, blocked my shot.
When did you start having this dream?
It wasn't a dream. It really happened. It really happened. It's been Brady and Walker.
Thank you.
Movie theater.
So that is Clue. All right halfway through. I'd like to take that scene again, if I could.
Line. Kidding. So that is clue number one. And if you know that movie, hang on. We're going to have another one at 7:30, another one at 8:30, and your chance to call in and win Raptors tickets then.
Now, do you think Mikhail Prokhorov, people talk about Jay-Z, but are we going to see he's worth $11 billion, according to Forbes magazine in 2014. Well, no one... I mean, there's some rich people in MLSE and in Rogers and Bell, but not $11 billion.
It's all tied up in stocks. Like he's not liquid. It's not liquidation of assets.
But I wonder, I don't know whether, you know, he's like giant, hugely tall. he'll you know, he's not going to sit in section 318 in row 20. Are we going to see either Jay-Z or Mikhail Prokhorov at the game Saturday afternoon?
Jay-Z doesn't feel like a first-round guy to me.
Well, this may be the only round he gets.
Yeah, I know.
It's possible.
I don't know, maybe is Prokhorov going to be at Pravda down on Front Street this week?
Yeah, you know all the you'd know all the places to take him. That's what would end up working out. And he's not going, God, the Courtyard Marriott's all booked. I don't know what. All they've got is they've got two queen beds. I want a king.
I think you just buy one of these new condo buildings going up. Take that for
heavens.
The week.
6:35. Coming up, we'll do best and worst from the night last night. And Ray Emery gets the call because of injury for the Philadelphia Flyers. How much worse off are they?
And the Jays rotation, it's been a positive story. But heading into today in Minnesota, where are we on R.A. Dickey?
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker, only on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
NHL playoffs are here. It's a two-month marathon, and last night was just that opening salvo. It was terrific. CBC does their opening intro, and the Habs game was awesome. And then, of course, we get overtime on night one. Four more series set to go tonight. It is 6:43. It's Brady and Walker on your Thursday. A lot of people have tomorrow off, so it's kind of a Friday today. Andrew Walker, Greg Brady. And, yeah, so it's the Habs draw first blood. The Penguins do as well. And then if you stayed up for it, Anaheim at a 4-0 lead on Dallas ends up winning 4-3. So four more series opening up tonight, including the Flyers and the Rangers in the Eastern Conference. Now, we did our picks yesterday. Who did you...
Rangers.
You went with... See, I went with Philly, but it's... I mean, yeah.
I think the Rangers...
Try to convince me otherwise, I guess.
I think the Rangers, I like to get through this division. But I also like them to go to the final 2 years ago, and they lost to the Devils. I tend to pick them... they tend to be a fallback, and I don't know whether I go too much on goaltending. And now even more so. You know, we didn't have time to catch it yesterday, and we didn't preserve the clip. And Doug McClain likes Steve Mason. He drafted him. I think there's something there. He liked Pascal Leclerc, too. 5 years ago, but he made note of the fact that he doesn't think there's a big advantage Lundqvist v. Mason. Mason finished the year with a .917 save percentage. He had his spurts, didn't he, where he was very up and down. Started the season poorly. They were really struggling in goal. They fired Laviolette. He got it really together.
Yeah,
for a good stretch of November, December, and even closer to the Olympic break.
Keep in mind, though, that given what we've seen from Flyer goalies, Ilya Brzgalov, one of those guys, Steve Mason, it kind of felt like we were watching, you know, like Jacques Plante or something.
Yeah.
That's how bad Philadelphia's goalies have been.
And that said, there's two factors for me. One is they've just had a history of messy goaltending, and they get guys that win in spurts, your Robert Eshes and Roman Čechmánek, and we all remember them flipping from Hextall to Garth Snow in the finals in 97. But it's also their blue line, and it's why goals against for smarter hockey people has become a lot more of a team stat than it is an individual stat. And their blue line's one of the leakiest in the NHL. I see it that way anyway, Philadelphia. So I think Mason and Emery are up against things that Lundqvist isn't up against on a nightly basis, or a goalie like Jonas Hiller or a goalie like Antti Niemi. I mean, we're not talking an elite blue line.
I mean, everybody... Almost every team in this playoffs, if their starter were to go down and not play, it would be a huge story, and you'd go from probably favorite to underdog. Anaheim is not that team, but certainly we've seen it with Ben Bishop, right? It would be the same with Henrik Lundqvist or Carey Price. No Steve Mason and Ray Emery to start game one, who has great numbers versus the Rangers. Do you feel like the Flyers take a big backseat here?
I think it's the Rangers series to lose, and yet there are questions that a lot of guys on that team want to answer. Brad Richards was healthy scratched in the playoffs last year by John Tortorella in the second round. Rick Nash.
But do you feel like the Mason to Emery drop off is?
Oh,
is
are you?
Massive?
It's notable. I'd rather have Mason than not have him in net, and obviously so would Philadelphia. But no, I don't think it's terribly significant. It's all going to be about how many shots and scoring chances Philadelphia ends up giving up. And and they tend to give up more than their fair share. So Philadelphia needs to win. To me, Andrew, Philadelphia needs to win games in this series, like Montreal won last night. And like I said, I don't expect Carey Price to give up four goals a night. But with Philadelphia, I think their wins are going to have to be more 5-4, 4-3. The Rangers can win games 2-1 and 1-0.
I agree. Four series start tonight. It's that one. It's the Hawks and the Blues. It's the Wild and the Avs. And it's the Kings and the Sharks. Uh-huh. Let's take a look back last night. Best and worst.
Best playoff hockey.
And worst.
CFL football.
With Brady and Walker.
Well, exhibition CFL. Those 2 weeks are mind-numbingly bad.
By the way, I negated this in the six-pack, but Darian Durant signs an extension in Saskatchewan yesterday. Take that, you CFL haters.
How's that affect their cap?
Locked up till 2016.
Ease up on this CFL chat.
An extension, 3 years, $25,000 per year.
What are they going to do?
Congratulations to Darian Durant.
What are they going to do with Chris Getzlaf?
They'll keep
when his time comes.
All right, so best win, worst loss, best player, worst player from last night in sports. I'm going to take worst loss.
All right, feel
right
free.
Away. So it's lousy Brooklyn Nets, you cheaters, you tankers. How do you play?
It's the best loss.
How do you play playoff type basketball and go neck and neck, win and win with the Toronto Raptors, one of the NBA's hottest teams for a couple of months, and then the last night of the regular season, you go into Cleveland and lose by 29. Have some pride. Pathetic.
You wonder, how do you think it's all started? Are they sitting around? Do Garnett and Pierce go to Jason Kidd and say,
play
bro,
left-handed?
We got to play. This is what we want to have happen. Does Kidd say, guys, what do you think about? But it's clearly, again, it's not like nobody talked about it. Where do they talk about it? Who heard it?
It's embarrassing.
When did they talk about
it? Embarrassing. Joe Johnson goes home to his kids. You explain to your kids why you lost by 29 in Cleveland. It's awful.
So best win, let's give it to the Montreal Canadiens. It was a bit of an unorthodox win.
Road win, though, right?
But yeah, road win in your division. And I know we differed yesterday on could they give Boston a real run for their money. We'd all love to see it. Nobody doesn't love watching. I'll watch Boston-Montreal on a Monday in February if there's eight other things on. So the Canadiens had players, I thought, that just looked more the part. Lars Eller had a confidence to his game. Desharnais was excellent. Pacioretty also, maybe goes a bit unheralded, but a guy that wouldn't even have been on Olympic radar for Vancouver.
Might want to bury that one in overtime, though.
Well, maybe. But was such an obvious choice this year to go to Sochi. If I told you Max Pacioretty could put up these kind of numbers that he put up this year, I wouldn't have believed that 3 or 4 years ago. Remember, for a couple of days, we're wondering if Chara had ended his career 3 years ago, right?
You just love him because he's American. Best player last night.
Connecticut. Good Connecticut kid right there, like Brian Leetch.
Best player last night. You got to give it to Masahiro Tanaka of the New York Yankees. I don't want to, but I will. He goes 8 innings, strikes out 10. Granted, it's 10 Chicago Cubs, so it's like 5 normal guy strikeouts as the Yankees take both ends of a doubleheader with the Cubs, 3-0 and 2-0. So Tanaka, don't quote me on this, is what I thought I read, is the first ever player to register 8 or more strikeouts in his first 3 major league starts, or one of a small handful. But it's been, I mean, he's absolutely legit. Is he Yu Darvish? Well, he looks pretty close at this point.
Worst player, let's combine it and give it to the entire Philadelphia Phillies offense. They could muster up 3 singles in 30 at-bats. And they only struck out 4 times. So they put the ball in play against Julio Teheran. We were talking with John Morosi yesterday about how good the Braves' starting rotation has been, anchored by Teheran and Santana. And a 9-inning complete game. Who's throwing complete games? 115 pitches for Teheran last night. And it's April. And Philadelphia's offense, Cliff Lee, was excellent. 13 strikeouts. And he went the distance in 9 innings. Seriously, Andrew, how many times do you see a complete game for both pitchers in a game in April? That never happens in this day and age.
April, because of the pitch counts? But everyone's saying the pitchers are ahead of the hitters right now.
Well, yeah, right? and the weather. But it's not like, it's Cliff Lee threw 128 pitches.
Yeah, that's
what
a lot.
What are you doing?
Yeah, that's a
lot. He's 35. Your arm's going to fall off.
Oh, you pitch every start like it's your last.
So 1 o'clock today, yes. 7 o'clock tonight. Games are on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So right after Hockey Central, we go right to Minnesota and Target Field for daytime baseball.
I'm so excited. And I don't even mind. I'm going to throwing the plug here because I don't even mind. So it's we got like what 9 hours of baseball today.
Yeah, you can find like, a 4 o'clock game. Which
so
you probably
we
can.
Had there's a Toronto is I just moved here right like this past year and Toronto is known for its breweries. They're everywhere. It's terrific.
Well, you didn't just get here. You've been here like you know. I'm like still, Dave Nona saying I just got here. Hey, I'm
relatively
fire me.
New.
Been here 6 years.
So we got dropped off these large cases of beer from Waterloo Belgian Ale. It's a I'll read it here because I'm bad at describing beer. Traditional handcrafted beer, 4.2%. The finest two-row malted Canadian barley, Vienna malt, East Kent Golding's hops, Ontario wildflower, honey, and Formosa spring water.
I want to pour it on my cereal.
So we don't work tomorrow, and we have two Blue Jays games against the Twins. I might kill the whole flat. I'm not going to lie.
So it's Waterloo Belgian Ale. Look for it at a beer store near you. And it's described as having a slightly spicy fruitiness, which I had a roommate like that in college. He was just, but this is a beer. This is different. It's two different things.
So R.A. Dickey starts the opener. We discussed him briefly yesterday, Greg, but this is, I mean, isn't it ironic how things work? The starting rotation of the Blue Jays has been a positive story 14 games in. They've been very, very good. R.A. Dickey has been very, very average. And you're probably happy with about everybody, especially Mark Burley. But we're to the point now, you need R.A. Dickey to be better, don't you?
Well, and yeah, remember how we said get through April, and the biggest question marks were going to be Brandon Morrow's health. They were going to be Brandon Morrow's health, and they were going to be Dustin McGowan, probably both his health and consistency. Both those guys have been okay. McGowan's made two starts. Morrow's made three. And we even wondered the other night, Brandon Morrow's numbers don't look fantastic. If I told you he had a 5.52 ERA, you'd go, it didn't feel like it's that high. But leaving early the other night against Minnesota after giving up a couple early runs didn't help. So I think there's pressure on R.A. Dickey, but that depends. I think every Blue Jay fan has a different perception of R.A. Dickey. I don't think the team can go anywhere if Dickey's their best pitcher. I think Morrow had to be, Jeff Blair said it to us a million times, Morrow is maybe the most important player on any team in the division. And if he's got his stuff, I don't want to say mojo, that's a Carlisle word, but if he's got his stuff and he can stay healthy, plus you're getting what you're getting from Burley. I mean, Mark Burley's on, we're months away from the All-Star game, but Mark Burley is on a incredible pace to start the season.
I know what you're saying with the Dickey. I'm not going to sit here and say the Jays can't go anywhere with Dickey as their best guy. Well, because they can. It just depends how good he is.
Yeah.
Right? If R.A. Dickey right now was their best guy, it means he was really, really good because Mark Burley's 3-0 with an ERA of under one.
But we talked about it and said R.A. Dickey at the start of the season. You know, we read those rankings of aces on the 30 teams, and Dickey's right in the middle. There's 12 guys better and there's 12 guys worse.
He's right in the middle, but he has not pitched right in the middle. He's 1-2 and just lost to the Astros at home. He has to be better, and we'll see what he does today. Although I won't pretend to even know. I don't know what the cold weather does to that knuckleball. I don't know. Might be batting practice in Minnesota today. I hope not.
Yeah, there have been plenty of guys. Charlie Huff had a pitching cold in Chicago for the first few months of the year. Tim Wakefield did it in Boston for the first few months of the year. But these are important games because there's some shifting sands in this division. Tampa's not hanging in with the rest of the teams right now with a three-game losing skid. And tough loss yesterday against Baltimore also.
Still to come, Raptors-Nets. That's your first-round matchup in the NBA playoffs. We will reset that and ask you, how excited are you? 590-590 is the text line at Brady and Walker on Twitter. Will Maple Leaf Square be packed like it was for the Leafs?
Part two of Brady and Walker's Masterpiece Theater as well at 7:30. We'll give you the second basketball-themed movie to try and win tickets. The third movie will come after 8:30. It's Brady and Walker.